Well, there are a lot of trees today in our readings. Whoops. This is an avocado tree. When I moved into my house 40 years ago this summer, I was delighted because we had trees, because I hadn't had trees around my house in a long time. We had a great big one in the front yard. We had a pepper tree in the backyard. It gave some shade and all those little red berries. And we had an avocado, and I was amazed to find out that it was an avocado. I couldn't imagine such richness to have an avocado and tree in my own yard. So we moved in the summertime, and the next spring, I was told there would be avocados, that was avocado season. And we waited, and nothing happened. And people said, well, maybe it's a male tree, or maybe it's not close enough to another avocado tree for pollination to happen. So we waited. We waited. Year after year, nothing happened. And we got used to having a tree that was an avocado tree that had no avocados. We just rejoiced in the shade that it brought us and just hung out. So one day, about 15 years after we moved in, I was out digging weeds in the backyard, and plop, right in front of me, was this avocado, this great big avocado. And I looked up in the tree, and there were buckets of them up there. And I was so excited, so I grabbed that one, and I grabbed another one off the tree, took them inside, and we waited for the avocados to ripen. We didn't know a lot about avocados or squirrels at that point. Those were the only two avocados we had. They were delicious. They were kind of watery. They weren't Haas, you know, but they were ours, and we loved them. And the squirrels apparently did really well. So I thought that once we had some avocados, that the next year it would be a real bumper crop, and we would have some chance against the squirrels. And that winter, I believe it was 89, was one of the hardest cold freezes we have ever had in this valley. And when spring came, it was pretty clear that our tree had been badly damaged. It had absolutely no leaves on it. It was all kind of scrunched up. And so we called the tree person out, and the tree person said, this tree is not going to make it. It needs to be cut down. So we cut it down, but we didn't take the stump out. And the next year, we saw a little baby tree growing up out of that stump. And it grew, and it grew, and it grew. And it was about 12 feet tall. It was not as pretty as these, but it was in the same kind of shape. It was absolutely straight, with a little fluff of leaves up at the top, 12 feet tall. And I looked at it, and I kept thinking, okay, next year will be good, and next year it was just a little bit taller, but still no branches, no nothing for the avocados to grow on. So it was time for the rest of the trees to be trimmed. I had the arborist look at it, and he said, nothing wrong with this tree. It's just forgotten how to be a tree. He said, this tree is not finished yet. This tree is not finished yet. He said, I can fix it. I said, great. So he took his loppers and lopped it off about 5 feet from the ground. And he said, it'll be fine now. I was doubtful. But sure enough, within weeks, some little sprouts began to come off of that big old stem sticking up there. And today, the thing is enormous. We have the shade back again. It's beautiful. It sheds leaves all year long, just like avocados do. And a few weeks ago, I saw three avocados. And this time I pulled all three of them. There's a lot of them, well, there were a lot of them up in the rest of the tree. But the squirrels, again, had a good time. So I'm hopeful for next year. But the thing I take away from this is that this tree wasn't finished. God wasn't finished with this tree. And God isn't finished with us either. In our reading from Exodus, we hear about the burning bush. And we hear the great I Am telling Moses that God knows the people have suffered, that the Israelites have suffered in their captivity. And the I Am tells Moses that that has not gone unnoticed, and that care will be taken to deliver the people from captivity. So we move from that to the Corinthian story, to the letter of Paul to the church at Corinth, where people have been in less than pleasing relationship with each other and with God. And Paul is pretty rough on them. He tells them that all kinds of dreadful things are going to happen to them because of their sins. But embedded in that letter, in that story of the awful things that are going to happen, is that one line: God is faithful. God is faithful, and God is with you even as you struggle with this time. And it's clear in these two readings that God isn't finished with the Hebrews or the Israelites. And God isn't finished with us yet. And then we have Jesus' story of the fig tree. Story of a man, the owner of the vineyard, the fig tree, and the gardener. Now, one of the things that can help us understand this particular story that Jesus gives us is that it's placed in Scripture among stories of healing and transformation. So that's a clue for us that in this story of the fig tree is probably some healing, probably some opportunity for transformation taking place. The second thing that we notice is that it's a parable. And a parable is a short story with a lesson. And it's usually something that shifts our perspective, that lets us see something that we hadn't seen before. So when I read this one, when I read this parable, I think there's an expectation that fig trees are going to do what fig trees are supposed to do, that this fig tree is supposed to give fruit. And there's also an expectation that a gardener is supposed to give care. Now, I don't know if you've done much gardening. I've done some. And it took me a long time to learn that brute force is an important part of gardening. Sometimes you have to whack at things to make them grow like they're supposed to grow, just like my avocado tree, that lion's tail of a tree. Sometimes you have to prune more than seems reasonable, like when you do your roses a couple of months ago. We cut them almost down to the ground, and then they just thrive. They come out like that. But this gardener was different. A lot of gardeners, 3 years, you're out of here. This gardener said, no. Let me have some time with this tree. Let me work around the roots. Let me feed this tree a little bit more. Let's see what might happen. Because this gardener knew that God was not finished with this tree yet. And God's not finished with us either. Jesus talks about our need to repent. He talks about the people, the Galileans, who were sacrificed, about the people at the Tower of Siloam. And he says those people were no different than we are. And he says that God was there with them. But he also says that we need to repent, that we need to think about what's happening in our lives, that we need to dig around our roots a little bit, the roots where all of our life comes from, our roots of faith, our roots of experience, our roots of awareness of our own lives, of our failures to meet the mark, and of the ways we've been forgiven through time. Jesus says we need to dig around in there. We need to feed what's been hungry. We might need to trim back a little bit those things that have gotten out of control, so that that trunk which holds our faith can continue to grow in the direction it needs to grow, and that we can put forth those leaves of action that take us into the world, that are visible for all the world to see. And he says that while we're doing that, we need to remember that our faithful God is with us in everything we do, that our faithful God leads us and guides us and holds us. God isn't finished with us yet. God is not finished with us yet. And so we can say, thanks be to God.